KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a clear to partly cloudy sky, and it's currently 73 degrees. We look for partly to mostly sunny skies today, the high around 98. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. Well, the jury in the Roger Erickson sex abuse trial went home late Wednesday evening after hearing testimony and closing arguments that morning and during the afternoon. Fourth District Court Judge Kathleen Kilnoski read them their instructions prior to the state's closing arguments by Cass County Attorney Dan Feisner and Defense Attorney Theodore Wanio. The jury decided that they would begin their deliberations this morning, beginning at 9 o'clock in the courthouse in Cass County here in Atlantic. Yesterday, during testimony, Jane Lowe with the Iowa Department of Human Services was one of those who testified during the proceedings. Lowe, who oversees child welfare services and works with children in need of assistance, told the court that she had been involved as a caseworker with the alleged victim of the crime since July of 2010, which is when she was assigned to her case. She said she went to 52-year-old Roger Erickson's home in Lewis on July the 25th and observed the teen was uncomfortable when Erickson tried to give her a bear hug from behind as she was about to leave and told her that he loved her. She said the girl kind of squirmed out from under Erickson and made her way toward the door as Lowe and the teen were about to leave for dinner.
I asked her if she was okay because she appeared to have, being uncomfortable and kind of scowled her face when Roger had given her a hug. So I asked her if she had been okay, and she said, yeah, I just don't like the way that Roger touches me that way.
It was after dinner at a restaurant here in Atlantic that the girl confided in Lowe about what allegedly transpired in the home.
We had gotten into the car, and she proceeded to tell me that Roger had been doing things to her that she didn't like.
The girl also told Lowe that she wanted to remain in the Erickson home, but that she wanted the problem to go away. The teen mentioned the incidents with Roger Erickson allegedly occurred when his wife Deb was at work or late at night when everyone was asleep. Lowe said that there had been no concerns about the Erickson's being foster parents prior to the incident she learned of in July of 2011. Under cross-examination, Erickson's attorney, Theodore Wanio, asked Lowe if she was aware of any concerns with the teen being untruthful in the past.
When I first took over the case in July of 2010, there were reports that had a history of lying. However, throughout my involvement in the case, the issues of lying were basically to the extent of lying to get out of trouble and to get out of consequences.
During the afternoon testimony, jurors heard from witnesses for the defense, most of whom basically characterized the 52-year-old Lewis man, who served as a foster parent, as being low-key with a good sense of humor, yet strict in a parental fashion as he would be with his own children. Those same witnesses portrayed the 14-year-old alleged female victim as someone who had a tendency to tell what amounted to white lies with regard to her homework and other issues. One witness even described the girl as a drama queen who makes up stories just to get attention. Those same persons claimed they never saw anything improper going on in the Erickson home and were shocked to learn of the allegations. A couple of the witnesses for the defense were incredulous to the fact that Erickson had sex toys in his bedroom, which he claimed were for the pleasure of himself and his wife. Some of those same devices were allegedly used as part of the sexual assault on the teenaged girl. Wednesday morning, Dan Dorrance with the DHS testified. He works out of the Red Oak office for the DHS, and he spoke with Erickson's wife and biological children after Roger left the home on July the 25th of 2011. He said they claimed to have no knowledge of any appropriate touching by Roger having occurred in the home. Other testimony received that morning came from Susie Newber Mystery and Lisa Johnson, both of the child advocacy and protection group Project Harmony in Omaha. Johnson said that in the testimony Wednesday morning that she had performed medical tests on the alleged victim 4 days after she was removed from the Erickson home in July of 2011. Johnson testified that there was no evidence of any vaginal tearing, scarring, or injury that might have occurred with the rape or sexual assault, but she said any lack of evidence may be because of the timing of the tests, and that was a fact reiterated during closing arguments by Prosecutor Dan Feisner.
What percent of the time would you expect to, what percent of the time would you find injury? Do you expect to find injury? No. Why? They heal quickly. Even if it had been examined within 24 to 36 hours. Of those times, how much do you find it? 90 to 95% of the time, no injury is even present. So she testified about that. It doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Erickson, an Elkhorn Kimbleton High School grad and veteran of the U.S. Army, took to the stand Wednesday afternoon and vehemently denied anything to do with the allegations brought against him. During cross-examination by Feisner, Erickson was asked if there was any reason the alleged victim in the case would make claims that he had sexually assaulted her.
I believe that she was looking for a way to get back to go home with her mom. Her biological mother.
Erickson and his wife Deb, who had been a licensed foster care provider since 2005, voluntarily surrendered their license once the allegations became known. Again, jury selection, actually the jury deliberations begin this morning at 9 o'clock, and we'll have the verdict for you when it becomes known here on KJAN. News time is 8:05.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
The Atlantic Police Department reports the arrest on Tuesday of 21-year-old Michael Sherman of Atlantic. Sherman was taken into custody on warrants charging him with child endangerment and possession of drugs. Sherman was booked into the Cass County Jail, and 23-year-old Justin Patton of Atlantic was arrested Tuesday on a warrant for violation of his parole. Patton was also booked into the Cass County Jail. The Montgomery County Deputy Auditor Kevin Norris on Wednesday released the final list of names of the candidates who have filed to run in the November 6th general election. The deadline to file nomination papers was 5 p.m. Wednesday. One person whose name will not appear on the ballot is Montgomery County Auditor Ted Schoonover, who has accepted a city administrator's position in Caledonia, Minnesota. Schoonover's chief deputy, Stephanie Burke, has filed a petition to have her name on the ballot. Schoonover is endorsing Burke for the position, saying that she would serve the county well for many years to come. Now, the list of candidates and positions they hope to be elected to can be found under this same story on our website at kjan.com. Just look under the news tab. While the upcoming Labor Day weekend usually means the unofficial end of summer, Iowa's in for more extreme heat today and tomorrow's forecast as well. Kenny Pedrazic, a meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Des Moines, said much of the state will be in the 90s today and even triple digits. Cass County Emergency Management Coordinator Mike Kennan said yesterday the county is likely to be included in some sort of enhanced fire danger statement today, although that hasn't happened yet. Kennan reminds residents the county is still under an open burning ban until further notice. Shelby County Emergency Management Coordinator Bob Seibert said red flag warnings may be issued for the area today and tomorrow, and for that reason he has moved the Shelby County fire danger signs into the extreme category, and that'll last through at least Friday evening. Seibert asks that the county fire departments prepare for a very serious situation. About a third of the state, 32 counties from across western, northwest, and northern Iowa are under a red flag warning today due to the extreme risk of fire conditions. Rod Donovan with the National Weather Service in Des Moines says there is a potential for fast-moving wildfires, especially after many months of drought.
Crops especially are susceptible and highly combustible right now as they're becoming almost nearly cured. So we do have some very dry air moving in this afternoon in combination with the very strong winds and warm temperatures. And so any fire that does develop, if, you know, in ditches or anywhere, could quickly spread and we could have rapid fire growth.
He says residents across Iowa should avoid any outdoor burning today, and farmers need to be especially watchful.
A lot of times if there's farmers out harvesting and stuff and they hit a rock, you know, that could set something off as well. So there's a lot of different ways we could have fires develop today.
High temperatures across Iowa are expected to be in the upper 90s and low 100s today. While Sioux City hit 101 degrees on Wednesday, Mason City set a new record high with its reading of 97. And again, the red flag warning does cover a portion of our listening area at this time. That would include Crawford, Carroll, and Monona counties. Voluntary water restrictions that have been in place for more than a month in the Des Moines area as the drought hit home will be lifted this weekend, but residents there are encouraged to use wise water practices. The Des Moines Water Works said the request to shut off lawn sprinklers or cut the time they're on and to curtail other uses of water will be canceled effective Saturday. CEO Randy Beaver said demands have eased in recent weeks and voluntary conservation is no longer needed. However, if the rivers remain low and the ground stays dry into next spring and summer, conservation efforts could be needed again. For the first time in nearly 35 years, Des Moines implemented conservation measures on July the 24th after pumping a record amount of water, over 96 million gallons. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour. Tonight, Mitt Romney makes the most important speech of his Republican presidential campaign. He'll speak to millions as he accepts the GOP nomination at the Republican National Convention. Last night, his running mate Paul Ryan addressed the gathering. Former Florida Governor Jeb Bush says Republican Mitt Romney needs to connect to people emotionally if he hopes to get voters to support him. Bush told ABC's Good Morning America program that Romney will have to show more of himself. And Bush says that'll be hard for Romney because he's not suddenly going to come across in a, quote, new age kind of way. Forecasters say Isaac is still spinning off life-threatening severe weather even as it weakens slowly in its trek north over Louisiana. The National Hurricane Center says Isaac is still generating hazards from inland flooding, storm surge, and potential tornadoes across the central Gulf Coast. Its winds are about 39 miles per hour. Retailers are reporting strong sales gains for August. Target, Costco, and the limited brands are reporting results that beat Wall Street estimates. Other merchants are also releasing their sales figures for today. KJAN News Time is 8:11.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
And in the funeral announcements, Jacqueline Jackie Specht Christopher, age 68, of Anita, died Saturday at Jenny Edmondson Hospital in Council Bluffs. Memorial services for Jackie Christopher will be held today at 10:30 at the Saints Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita has the arrangements. Roberta Bertie Marie Reef, age 62, of Griswold, died Monday at her home. Funeral services for Bertie Reef will be held today at 11 o'clock at the Oakland Christian Church. Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland has the arrangements. Louis Bell, age 83, of Manila, died Monday at his home. Funeral services for Louis Bell will be tomorrow at 10:30 at Trinity Lutheran Church in Manila. Odie Funeral Home in Manila has arrangements. Ron Kniep, age 73, of Greenfield, died Tuesday at the Greater Regional Hospice in Creston. Funeral services for Ron Kniep will be on Friday at 11 a.m. at the United Methodist Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Albert Aaron Freed, age 99, of Fontenelle, died Monday at the Adair County Memorial Hospital in Greenfield. Celebration of life services for Albert Aaron Freed will be on Friday at 2 o'clock at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has arrangements. Donna Louise Ball, age 63, of Harlan, died Friday at her home. Funeral services for Donna Ball will be on Saturday at 10 o'clock at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Norma Isles, age 85, of Cumberland, died Wednesday at her home. Funeral services for Norma Isles will be on Saturday at 11 o'clock at the Trinity Baptist Church in Bridgewater. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Milford Mick Pardee, age 89, of Audubon, died Friday at the Friendship Home in Audubon. Celebration of Life Memorial Services for Mick Pardee will be on Monday at 2 o'clock at the Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon. Winifred E. Rudin, age 89, of Atlantic, died Saturday at the Cass County Memorial Hospital. Private family services for Winifred Rudin will be held at a later date. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Atlantic is in charge of the arrangements. And Marjorie Sorensen, age 84, of Topeka, Kansas, a former Shelby County resident, died Wednesday at the Aldersgate Village Nursing Home in Topeka. Services for Marjorie Sorensen are pending at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home. That is a check of our news brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. I'm Rick Henson reporting.